Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum and welcome, cherished listeners of IRIB English Radio, through a transformative experience. I'm Zainab, your host on Islamic upbringing. Let's embark on a journey into the depths of raising children in line with Islamic values. Our experts' answers are rooted in the noble Quran and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Will illuminate your path. So today in our studio we have with us a guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, brother.
Thank you, and to all the listeners, inshallah, my salams to all of you.
You have been discussing with us creating identity, because creating identity is something that will help our children strengthen their faith. And you also discussed in the previous discussion that there's this cultural thing, there's this religious thing, and we should not let one overcome the other. So how do we create the balance? And we would want you to talk more about that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, so we've been talking about inculcating faith in our children. We've come to this third important tip related to creating a Muslim identity. The discussion of identity crisis, yes, it's there. This usually happens when you have families that have migrated from their original country to a Western country, for example, in the example that you mentioned. And what happens at the second generation and third generation, now that they have their parents from, for example, from a different background, and they've lived in a particular grown-up, born and bred in this new environment with a new culture identity, they feel a crisis between the identity of my parents and my grandparents and the fact that, for example, I'm Indian or Pakistani or Iraqi or whatever it is, okay? And now I'm living a lifestyle and within a society that has a particular culture or a particular identity that doesn't match my identity.
Right.
And that leads them to question different things of how we do different things. This is a crisis that actually is an opportunity for us. Right, so an opportunity for parents and communities to come together and say, look, these identities, these cultural identities, they're good to have, right? And they naturally come as being part of living within a society, right? But what is very important to realize is that there is an identity that is encompassing the other two, or that is overruling the other two. And that is called the religious identity. This religious identity will actually dictate which part of the culture I'm supposed to keep and which part of the culture I can disregard.
Right.
So, for example, those who are in France, right? When we were back in our homelands, where you want to call it, right? Wherever that is, you would greet, for example, one another in a very different way from France. So if you're in France, if you meet a person from the opposite gender, you kiss them on the cheeks, for example. Right? It's a very natural thing to do. And it's actually good manners. If you don't do it, it's actually, you count it as very rude. Now, this is a part of the culture, right? Which a religiously very strong person, or a person who has a religious identity, will say that this part of the culture, I don't agree with, right?
Right.
This part is, I don't identify myself with this identity within the society and this part of the culture. I don't count that as rude. On the contrary, I will avoid any contact with the opposite gender. Not being disrespectful at all, not being not tolerant at all, on the contrary, very respectfully, very with a lot of tolerance, a lot of kindness, a lot of respect, but my religious identity, right, over here would overrule that which comes from the other culture. And if we're able to really strengthen this religious identity, what will happen is that, as I said, it will impact our behavior, our morals, and then our ideologies.
Right. A momentary hiatus, my dear friends, to regenerate our separates. When we return, we'll unravel more secrets on nurturing unyielding faith in our beloved children. Stay with us.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic upbringing. We are with Brother Mikhtad, and we are talking about the different strategies, the different tips. Brother Mikhtad is here to help us how to strengthen faith in our children. Brother Mikhtad was talking about creating identities, and Brother Mikhtad, you were saying that how do we create a balance when it's religious identity and cultural identity both together?
So when it comes to, just to strengthen the point once more, is that it's very normal to have a culture, right? From wherever we are from, we have naturally a culture. Even as minorities, for example, living in certain Western countries, for example, we have our own culture. And to have a cultural identity is very normal, right? The mother tongue that we have, the food that we eat, etc. And there is importance in keeping the original culture and the identity that comes with it. Just so that we can connect back to our ancestors and back to the elders of our community. However, that's a different discussion. What is important over here is for us to realize that we need to create in our children a very strong religious identity.
Identity.
A very strong Islamic Muslim identity.
Right.
That should be able to be so strong that it overrules in times of contradictions. When there's no contradiction, then it's fine. Right? For example, when it comes to what tea am I drinking? Right? In certain cultures, you have black tea. In certain cultures, you have a very strong tea with a lot of sugar. In certain cultures, you have milk tea.
Right.
Now, your religious identity will not have anything to do with what kind of tea you choose. It's according to what kind of culture you come from and what you like best, right? But when it comes to contradictions, so for example, the manners in which you interact with the opposite gender, for example, or for example, how you do business and how you deal with people in a transaction, in a business transaction, or in the world of economic. So over there, religious, where there's a contradiction, your religious identity will play a role in, and it will impose itself, right? And therefore, we need to create this identity. So come to the main question of how do we create this identity? How do we create this idea in a child that who I am is defined by my religion, defined by what God said, and therefore what I like and what I don't like, what my values and my principles are, what I believe in, and how I react to different situations, all this comes back to this religion. What I love and what I stand for, right? What my pride lies in is back to my religion, back to this identity that I live and die for. And this is what we need to inculcate in the children. If we're able to do this, then you'll find that it's much easier. For example, a child who has a very strong religious identity, right? It'd be very easy for them to wear hijab.
Right.
Right? They don't feel the need to question it, the need to feel uncomfortable, or the need to feel like, do I match with the people that I live around with? Their identity is very strong.
True. Right?
And you find this case, if you look around you as well, especially especially in children that are gone to university, for example, and they really stand by their religion and have very strong religious identity, you find that sometimes they even stand out, but they're happy to stand out, right? I remember somebody telling me about these sisters that were wearing niqab at school, right?
Okay.
And they were very happy to wear niqab, and even though they were kind of the talk of the town, you would say, right? Because it's not something that's done in the States.
Right.
But because they had this very strong identity, this is who we are, it didn't affect them, right? Obviously, I'm not saying that we should be wearing niqab, not at all. But I'm saying that if we have
a strong identity
will have impact in how we deal with different things.
Right. We'll discuss more on the topic, Brother McDonald, with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
إمام علي عليه السلام said, encourage your sons in their childhood to learn etiquette so that in their grown-up age they can be the joy of your eyes.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Brother Mehzad and discussing on how to create a strong religious identity.
One of the ways to create a very strong identity is to really bring about confidence in our religion. You have to remember that as Shias, across history from the very beginning, we've always been minorities, right? We've always lived as Shias in a society where we have been minority, right? And so, and this is the case in history, it's the case today as well, right? In most countries, as Shias, you'll be living in a country where you'll be 1% of the population or 2% of the population, or a minority generally.
Right.
And that requires, therefore, us to be able to be strong and proud and confident in who we are.
Right.
The moment we feel a sense of a lack of confidence, or we feel a sense of being lower than others because of who we are, because of being Shias, because of being Muslims, then it's very easy to lose this identity and to even lose our faith. And so when it comes to children and creating a religious identity, we need to create confidence in them that being a Muslim should be looked at in a very beautiful way, in a very majestic way, in a very, I would say, proud way as well.
Right.
Not proud in a negative way, but proud in a sense that I am proud to be a Muslim.
Right.
Being proud to be a Muslim, realizing that being a Muslim is a very positive thing. It's a thing that gives me a lot of greatness, it's a level of perfection I've achieved, not something that we look down upon. And so as parents, we need to be careful in doing that. Sometimes I feel like, you know, the moment a child, and this is an example you see time and time again, right? So you see a child becoming a bit more religious. What happens? Parents tell him, are you being more religious than the Pope? Are you being holier than the Pope? Or for example, they laugh at him, for example, for having a nice beard, for example. Or they laugh at him, for example, for acting a bit more religious. In a way to kind of really bring it down.
Right.
Being religious is looked in a very down way, which is exactly the opposite of what we want, right? When you find a child who...
I remember I was at a marriage ceremony and one of the women told me, please tell my daughter that why she's trying to be more religious, why she's trying to be more wearing a hijab. And I said, what's the problem in wearing a hijab? And she was like, she will look like auntie.
Exactly. See how...
It's looked down.
It's looked down upon. And we should be doing completely the opposite. We should be encouraging children to... Or for example, you find that children who wear a dastasha, for example, who wear this kind of Arabic clothes or Islamic clothes, people will come and look down upon them.
Right.
To create this religious identity, therefore, we need to really put emphasis in bringing about this pride and confidence in our religion.
Right. Thank you so much, Brother Mehzad, for being with us and discussing those beautiful things with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way.